Hi, I'm Stunning Stella Cheeks.
And I'm the Enigma Erin Klein.
And this is Not Your Demographic, a feminist wrestling podcast.
Shockingly, those exist.
Welcome to the podcast. It's on the internet.
We're on the internet.
I mean, I guess it's always on the internet because we post
the podcast
to the
is always on the internet, but you and I are on the internet right now recording the podcast.
We live on the internet.
We're very online.
Speaking of online, I fixed our Gmail.
Yay! I got a bunch of notifications about email and was like, oh shit. And then you texted me and I was like, oh, okay. I understand what's happening.
Yeah, because so last week I realized that our Google Drive was filled with a bunch of Plan 9 burlesque shit. And I was like, whoops, that's a mistake. And it was a bunch of video files. So that's why it was taking up all the room because we only have like 60 emails in our inbox.
Yeah, I wondered. I was like, how the fuck is our email full? We don't get that much email.
Yeah, and we clean it out. So then I deleted it all last week, and then it was still Joe Crack emailed me or DM'd me, and I was like, hey, I have a listener question, but it's bouncing back again. And I was like, literally, how? I deleted all of that stuff. I don't understand. And then I Googled it, and it was like, you also have to delete it in your trash. And I was like, that is trash.
Well, it gives you 30 days to recover stuff from the trash, which like in normal circumstances is smart because like, oh fuck, I accidentally deleted this thing. I can go get it. But yeah, when you're trying to clean shit out, there should be some kind of like, I'm going to click this button and it means I actually want to delete this.
Yeah. So our email is working again.
Yay, send us emails.
Woo. I mean, I'm going to ask, how are you? But like, we did just have a long online or offline discussion about how we're both very stressed.
Yes, I'm very stressed. I don't know. I've like kind of talked about this on the internet. I feel like I should probably actually say something. I got laid off on Monday. It sucks ass. I asked for a raise and got laid off instead. So it's been a shit week. It's not been great. I did like accidentally set this up as the perfect week to have gotten laid off because I got laid off on Monday and I already had Tuesday off. So here's a fun thing that everyone listening should learn and should know. If you get laid off from a job and they offer you like, we're going to give you 2 weeks to like come down and come out of here. If you don't accept it, you can't file for unemployment. So I have to stay the extra 2 weeks after being laid off. So that's been a fun process, but I already had Tuesday off and I was like, thank God I don't have to go in the day after this. I could just go home and relax and be mad at like in my own apartment, which was nice. And like,
you worked there for like 7 years.
Yeah, I did work there for 7 years and I asked for a raise for the first time in 3 years and got laid off instead. So yeah, it blows. I'm pretty fucking angry about it. Mostly I'm mad because it's like, I wanted to leave on my own terms. And I'm like taking interviews. I've got a third round interview for another job that seems really cool coming up. And it's like, oh, this was just like the perfect shitstorm timing for this to have gone terribly. And like, it has been a nightmare at work because everyone's realizing, oh fuck, you do so much. You do so much. And they're just eliminating my department. They're completely getting rid of it. And I was like, this is a nightmare. Everyone in the office is like, no, please don't do this, because everyone's job is affected by it, because I do so much support for everyone in the office. And I don't think anyone who doesn't actually work on the floor understood that. Like, the higher ups who write numbers are like, oh, this is dumb, we'll just get rid of this. And like, we had a fucking nightmare project dropped yesterday, and one of the higher ups I've never interacted with came up to me and was like, hey, are you gonna be able to finish this by the end of the day? And I was like, no, you didn't assign it to me in time, and I'm going on my break now. And she was like, wait, what? This has to be done today. And I was like, well, sorry, I'm on break now. I'm like, it's so satisfying. It was so satisfying to be like, deuces, fuck you guys. Like, I busted my ass for 7 years and got nothing. And now you want me to put any effort into this? nah, that's a no from me, dog. I don't fucking think so. Like, it is just ridiculous. And like, I, and in this like perfect storm of a come down week, like on Tuesday, I had the day off. I like already had a date that had been scheduled weeks in advance. So it was like, I got to like hang out and have a good time. And then on Wednesday, I had therapy already scheduled. So it was just like, boom, 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 all the way down. I went to therapy on Wednesday and it's a couples therapist. And so Michael was like, well, Aaron got laid off on Monday. And our therapist was like, whoa, what? So, yep. It's not been great. It's not been a great week, but whatever. In the end, I'm glad I don't have to work at that company anymore. And that's truthfully all that matters. How are you?
Well, I didn't get laid off and I'm really sorry that that happened to you, but I do think, you know, it will be a good thing in the long run, because it does force you to kind of, even though you were already taking the steps, it does force you to like finally leave.
Yeah, exactly.
This, like, thing that's been, and also like, it's hilarious that they fucked themselves so hard. I, like,
yeah.
Chef's kiss for that.
Yeah.
My week has been stressful. I have like 2 group projects, which are stupid. My teacher is very frustrating because he like doesn't explain things until like after they're due. And you're like, this is literally unfair and bullshit. And I probably shouldn't say this, but there is a chance that like my life will change drastically because of a moving situation that is out of my control that is very upsetting. And, you know, I'm already like grieving this thing for my family, but I'm also like potentially grieving part of my life.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, it's just a lot that like the wedding is 70 days away.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I like was doing something on the website today, like adding the RSVPs for the rehearsal dinner, and it pops up on the top of the website. It says like 70 days away. And I was just like, wow, I want to jump off the roof.
Uh-huh. It's funny because you and I talked about it last week where it was like, oh, does it feel like chaos in a speeding train? And you were like, no, I'm okay. And now it's like, oh my God, 70 days.
Well, yeah. Also, I got so many emails this week from like vendors and stuff. And it was just like, your dress is here. We have to do the walkthrough. This. And I was like, wow, you guys really know how to pile it on, don't you? Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yeah. And it's one of those things where like, I can tell you that and Emily can tell you that. And until you like really experience those, like that like 75 day crunch where it's like, oh, it's not anything that has to do with you and how prepared you are. This is just what it's like to get married, that the industry is like, okay, we're 8 weeks out and now you have to do everything. Now everything is due right now. And it's like, but I planned so well.
Yeah. And I know that. And I feel like it would be manageable except for like school, this terrible family stuff. Also, there's a Plan 9 show next week that I honestly have done like nothing for. And people, I like wrote the email to the tech today and I was like, hey guys, sorry that I've been a mess, but you know, the show will happen. And you guys are beautiful. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. So it's just like a lot, but you know. It's happening.
Everything's happening.
Everything is happening.
I literally can't stop anything at this point. It feels like we're just like on for the ride.
Fucking train that I'm on. Lisa love train travel because trains are cool.
That's true. I'm going on a train trip tomorrow. Another, like, I happen to have a trip scheduled to go to Kalamazoo to visit one of my sisters tomorrow. And it was like, oh, this was a nice little thing that I had already done for myself, that it'll be like I can just go and be relaxed for a day. Our lives are chaos.
It is absolute absurd chaos. Yes. Is there wrestling news? I don't know.
Well, there's the AEW stuff.
Oh yes,
I feel like we should talk about that.
Sure, that's fair.
There are a lot of shitty people who watch wrestling. This is not news, but it's relevant.
This is how it unfolded for me. So I was just in a shit mood all week, right? And Brandy had tweeted like the women's match out. And I just like, I usually don't respond to like celebrities and stuff, but I just tweeted to her a women's triple threat. How innovative, with a bunch of like eye roll emojis. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then my mentions got shit because AEW stands were like, oh, fuck you, dummy, essentially. Mm-hmm. So I just blocked everyone. but then Brandy responded to me and was like, who says this is all we got? And I was like, cool, whatever. I don't care anymore. And then somebody responded to me and her being like, it's not even really a women's triple threat because there's a trans woman in it. And then I wrote,
did not see that. That's shitty.
And then I wrote, to him, seriously, dude, are you making a trans joke? Like, get a life, fuck yourself. And I blocked him. And then Elle responded to me and Brandy, and I assume that guy, I don't know, again, I blocked him, and said, hey, Brandy, are you going to respond to these negative transphobic comments in your AEW or regarding AEW, or are you just going to take the time to like call out Stella?
Yeah.
And then I, like I said, I muted and blocked a lot of people, and I was like, I don't need this bullshit in my life right now.
Yeah, truly.
Elle took it upon themselves to kind of like call a bunch of people out, which good for Elle, because like AEW and Cody Rhodes and Brandy weren't doing it. And there were a lot of really shitty transphobic stuff just flying around. And again, this is just from my perspective. It's not like, I'm not saying like I started anything. I'm literally, this is just how I consumed it all.
Yeah. It was a catalyst. It just all started to spiral at once. And I just want to interject real quick too and say it was both Elle and Darnell, the, D Danellicious, I think is his handle. Both of them really went in and were like, no, AEW is going to respond to this. This is a thing that they need to do. So I just wanted to interject that too.
Yeah, I was getting to that because specifically the thing that I saw from Elle was that Elle kind of called out Cody and Brandon and was like, you have to respond to this stuff. If you are saying you want to create like a new welcoming space, you have to call people out on it. And Cody gave some milquetoast answer that was like, AEW is welcoming, we just ignore the trash. No. You have to make a statement. You can't just, you have to make people feel safe and welcome. And it's great that you're hiring LGBT like performers, but unless you, that's not enough.
Yeah.
That's not enough.
The best way that I saw it, and it's funny because I'm not even sure that this was about AEW. This may have been, there's a lot of stuff going on around about like, what it means to be inclusive, but I saw someone make a statement about how saying that all are welcome here is not the same thing as saying hate will not be tolerated here. And that is what is important. Like, sure, everyone's welcome here. That means that people who think it's okay to yell the F slur or the R slur or to the T slur, like, there are people out there who think that that's okay. And like, all are welcome means those people too, unless you say, if you are a hateful piece of shit, you're not welcome here. And like, I understand there are a lot of hateful pieces of shit in the wrestling fandom, and that's isolating money. But again, we've talked about this for years. If you open up and have an inclusive environment, people who feel unsafe in the spaces as they exist now have so much fucking money they want to spend. Like, the people who come and are like, I'm here, I paid my ticket, I can do whatever the fuck I want, I'm gonna say a bunch of offensive shit because it pops my stupid fucking friend next to me. Like, those people spend money. They don't spend the same amount of money that women who feel safe in spaces spend, and that's just a statistical fact. Like, it's so stupid to ignore that. And AEW wants to get in on inclusion and understands that it's a great business mode, but is afraid to isolate people who suck ass. And like, they just got to do it. You just got to do it. Like, sorry, transphobes and bigots, like, you're not welcome here and your money's not good here. Go somewhere else. Like, there are people who will fucking buy those tickets in a second if you kick those people out.
They released a statement that was still pretty milquetoast, but it was better than nothing, I guess. I don't know. Again, the thing that bothered me is that the people that were in my mentions would be like, oh, you're not even giving me them a chance, blah, blah, blah. Like, why do you only have negative things to say, this, that, and the other thing? And I was like, look, all I'm doing and all these other people are doing are holding them to the standards that they set themselves.
Exactly.
They came out and said, we want to be innovative. We want to be equal. We want to have women and LGBT performers like treated equally. We want to be this flagship, new, different, blah, blah, blah. And they've put us in the position to hold them to those standards because they aren't doing it on their own.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Or they're not showing that they're doing it on their own. I don't know. I think they have, you can't just say things. You have to have actions behind them.
Right. Absolutely. Like, words are fucking cheap and you have to show that you actually mean it. Put your money where your mouth is. And like, that's That is how you, and we've said before, and we've acknowledged a lot, like, this is a new company, and they do have to be given room to grow, but part of that is, how do you respond to fans calling you to the standards you've set? If your response is bullshit, then people can say that. Like, just because you're using fancy words that say you're inclusive, like, if you're not actually putting the actions out for there, what do you think is going to happen? Are we just supposed to accept milquetoast bland promises that mean fucking nothing? Like, we've done that for decades. And if you're going to use that language, fucking step up and get it. Like, that's how this is going to work now. And the idea that we as fans who have ate shit forever about this stuff, like, take what you can get along to go along. Nah. If you're gonna do this now and you're gonna be AEW style proclaiming that you're on the forefront, fucking do it. Be on the forefront. And like, I want to give you room to grow. And part of that is respond to this criticism that you're not setting your own standards, like, that, or not living up to the own standards, as you said, that they set for themselves.
Yeah. So it's just a lot of all of that bullshit.
Yeah. And like, their response to the criticism about the women that they had not signed yet was to sign a bunch of cool women. And like, good. If this is how they're dealing with the response to criticism, I hope that there is more coming other than this just kind of like feel good milquetoast statement. Like, I want there to be a like code of conduct. Release a code of conduct. That is a perfect response to critique like this. Like, hey, you say you want to be inclusive of people who will feel unsafe if you don't put out a code of conduct. Put out a code of conduct, and then we'll know you're serious. But if you're just going to send us platitudes, like, what do we have to believe for a moment that anyone yelling slurs is going to be ejected or punished or told not to come back or their money won't be accepted? Like, we have nothing to believe that that's going to actually happen until you tell us it's going to happen.
Agreed.
Woo, all right. Well, going in hot today.
since it's Elimination Chamber weekend, I think maybe let's just talk about the card, and then we can, when we get to the women's stuff, we can kind of talk about what happened on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess before that, the big thing that we need to talk about is Stephanie and Triple H being like, just apologize, Becky, just apologize, Becky, just apologize. And then everyone being like, Becky, just apologize. And then she apologizes. And then Vince McMahon is like, LOL, fuck you.
Yeah, like, it's just, it's the same complaints I had last week where it feels like they're trying to shoehorn in this underdog story that is just deeply unnecessary. Like, I don't know. I guess it's working because it is making people mad, and that's like kind of the intended purpose, but having like really stepped back and only watching things that I want to watch, and because there are women involved basically, and it's like content I want to promote, like it feels super weird. Like, I don't understand why your goal is to make your audience really mad. Like, I don't know. Like, I understand that that's like the Carny mentality, and it's like literally part of wrestling to make your audience angry. But like, your audience was already giving you what it is that you're trying to get out of this storyline, supposedly. I don't get it. Like, I just don't understand why they're doing it. Yeah, I guess I'm glad it's Becky's on TV, and like, that's good, and is getting to talk, and that's good. But also, like, what?
The thing that bothers me about it, because like, taken out of context of all of WWE's past, which is like obviously impossible to do, it is making Charlotte look bad in a good way, because like, thank God Charlotte is the best heel, and honestly, Charlotte's been doing great fucking work, and like, you know, it does make the storyline, I guess, a little bit more interesting, blah blah blah. But like, I don't know, Becky doesn't need to be an underdog, and also it just feels like they're so afraid to make Ronda a heel, or Ronda doesn't want to be a heel, or both, that they had to make Charlotte a heel because Ronda and Becky both have to be good guys in different way, and it's like, Ronda would be the best, like, the authority's, like, chosen, like, because that's what she is. She literally is the authority's chosen, like, chosen girl. So, like, it just seems, dumb. But, like, silver lining is that Charlotte is back to being, like, the best heel in the biz.
Yeah, I agree.
Other than Tessa. Tessa is the best heel in the biz.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like, I totally agree. And I think that that's part of what maybe feels very weird and frustrating about this, is it's like, pieces of this are great, are really great. And it's weird that they're trying to like shove this square into a round hole. Like, it's a bunch of little squares that they assembled into a rectangle, and we're like, look, we fit all these really cool pieces together, now shove it in that round hole. Like, wait, why don't you just put it in a rectangular hole? Like, it's just, we're like, why can't you fill this, the round hole, with something else? Like, it's just very, very weird. And like you said, it's impossible to take it out of the context of their history. It really is. Especially, like, if this all builds up to a super dope, like, triple threat match at WrestleMania, awesome. I've seen Charlotte and Becky do that already and know that they'll be really good at it. And so I'm kind of like, man, you keep telling us it's going to be a co-main event, but is it last? And if it's not, really, this is the same match that Charlotte and Becky already had with a worse wrestler in it. And so, like, why? And so that's what I mean, too, by, like, it feels like they're trying to put these really cool pieces together and then are just like, no, we're not doing that. Like, I just, man, literally all they have to do to make this work for me in a way that it's not right now is to turn Ronda heel and just have the Authority straight up say, like, the idea of, like, we're just going to play Charlotte in this, we've done that and we've been there, and, like, that has worked in the past, but what would feel fresh and new is Charlotte coming in and saying, like, I fucking deserve this, place me here, I deserve it, and then being like, sure, whatever, fuck it, whatever you want, Charlotte, we'll do whatever you want, but also what we really want is our girl Ronda Rousey in the main event, and just lean into that. Like, you can keep doing all of this, and then, like you said, just turn her heel, and, like, boom, perfect storm, it's something new, it's something different than what they've fucking done already. Like, I don't know, I guess proven success is hard to turn your back on and be like, well, we know that this worked, but the thing that I think they're very short-sighted on all the time is people are different. Like, it doesn't matter if the characters are supposed to be the same, people are different, and the audience that those people attract is different and want different things, and so, like, success doesn't work like that. Like, she was already replicating Stone Cold in a way they've been desperate for men to do for years, and then because it's not what they view a vision of success as, they're like, no, 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 I gotta tinker with it, I need it to be my thing, I need it to be this thing that I made organically happen. Like, I guess it's hard to have all of this history, and, like, I think that that is a huge problem with fans today as a smart audience, is that we have a lot of knowledge and we're like, man, I wish that you would think innovatively in a way that all of us on the internet have been doing for a decade, because we want new, fresh ideas. But they're like, but here you all are still watching it. Like, it's so it's, I get it. And I'm like, understand why they're doing it. It just feels so frustrating. And, like, maybe if you have a constant new supply of audience, you don't ever have to worry about keeping old audience members who get tired of that. I don't know.
Yeah, except for the fact that their ratings are not great. So
yeah,
it feels like you, I guess you always have an audience, but also, like, you need to do something to bring in different audiences, and doing the same old shit is not innovative and it's not going to bring in new audiences.
Yeah, that's true. And that's a good point, too, that, like, their ratings are... That's also hard, though, because we live in an age where that means something different. Like, you can't look at ratings in the same way that you could 20 years ago. Well, yeah, I agree.
But also, like, if you're not growing and it's stagnant, like, that's still a big deal.
Yeah,
that's true. Signing Ronda Rousey was supposed to bring in all of this new shit, and it's not.
Yeah, that's true. You know what? I hadn't thought about that until literally right now when you said that. It is really interesting that they've brought in Ronda and have, like, touted this as this success, and yet the numbers every single week seem to indicate that the choices they're making to lean into UFC are not the right one. And, like, we predicted that the audiences are different. The people who watch UFC if they don't already watch wrestling, don't usually come over, and especially for people like Ronda, who they hate, like, it is weird that they haven't made that connection of, like, we thought we would bring this audience over by signing these big UFC names, and here we are, where that is actionably not true. That's interesting.
Yeah, so, and also, I guess this also ties into them trying to make Ronda something that she's not. So, Lana and Rusev got kicked off Total Divas, LOL.
Yes. Man,
I also think it's a I don't understand.
I'm surprised. Like, I'm really surprised by it.
Me too, because
She's great TV.
The point of reality TV is to cause drama and be messy. And like, even if she's not, she said that like she wasn't popular or whatever. Like, I don't know. It seems dumb. They created good TV.
They gave her an edit to make her not popular. Like, yeah. Like, why aren't they leaning into that?
I don't think her hero edit would have been great. So like,
oh, I agree. I'm just saying, like, I feel like her online presence probably added to that at the same time, having been like really aware of her doing that kind of shit. But also like, it's weird that they did the same thing with Summer, where like they give her this edit that creates the television that they want and then are like, fuck you for being this way. It's weird.
Yeah. But so they're bringing on Sonia, which is great because Sonia is super pretty, super interesting, and is also gay. And that's important to have that representation. Mm-hmm. So Lana and Rusev are off. The Bellas are only going to be on their own show. And then Paige is off again, even though she just came back. But I assume that she came back because they assumed that she would be in the actual like wrestling some more because she was the GM and stuff. But now that they took her off the GM, it's like, why would you even be there? You're not really a part of this company anymore, frankly. Yes. So that makes sense to me. But so then they're bringing on Sonia, but then they're also fucking bringing on Ronda Rousey.
I just, man.
Which makes me not want to watch it. I'm gonna, obviously, but.
Yeah, I like, she doesn't fit with that. Like, the reason they're taking the Bellas off is because they don't really travel with, they don't really work with those women anymore. It does make sense that they're.
And they have their own show.
Right, exactly. That's what I was going to say. It makes sense that they're just on their own show because they're not really part of the superstars, female superstars cast anymore. But Rhonda's whole thing is, like, what I've heard, and, like, all of this is rumor. Who the fuck knows what could happen? Maybe they shoot her and are like, this is terrible. We can't put this on TV. Like, who the fuck knows? But it sounds like what they're mostly shooting of her is her on her farm with her husband. And, like, again, we've talked about this a lot. Like, if you do a cursory Google about her husband, like, it's weird to me that they're like, yeah, this is what we want. Bring this fucking dude on. This dude who even the UFC wants nothing to do with. Like, is she going to be alone on her farm? Like, I have a lot of questions about how she's going to work into this cast as a whole. And, like, is she going to go on the, like, trips with them or not? Like, if she's
just give Rhonda her own show then.
Exactly. I feel like that's what the point of this is. If they're really going to include her on Total Divas, it's going to be like because they then want to give Rhonda her own like offshoot farming show. But like, if she's not part of the group trips, why is she on the show? And if she is part of the group trips, I don't want to watch the show. So it's, I'm kind of already not watching it now because I just am consuming a lot less of that media. But also, like, that will make me not even DVR it. Like, I don't care about, I don't want her as part of my media. It's, but I do want to see Sonia. I am really excited about Sonia. And also, like, I'm glad that she has made some choices in her life that mean that she can be on TV for E! Like, that's good.
I guess I didn't realize that they broke up.
Yeah, they broke up a while ago. It's been a minute. Like, she isn't even friends with any of the superstars, like, online at all anymore. And not Sonia, obviously, her ex-girlfriend. But, it seems like everyone took an actual, we got to make a clean cut from her. So I know it's been at least like 6 months. I'm thinking probably since around the time she became like a staple part of the women's division, like after Absolution broke up. It's been a while, like a minute that since they broke up.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm glad. I'm on her Instagram right now. So I was just looking to see if there was another girl. I'm nosy now. She did just post a video of her kissing at like the cheek of another girl with a heart, but that could also be friends because like you never know. It wasn't like, hey, this is my girlfriend.
Right, exactly.
Her name's Ariana Johnson.
Ooh.
I don't know who that is. She's cute.
I mean,
she kind of just looks like Mandy Rose, though.
I mean, that would make sense.
She's like, full on with big lips. I mean, whatever.
I mean, fair. She's got a type. Sonia's hot. She can pull whoever the fuck she wants.
Sonia is so hot.
She's like ridiculous. She's like Becky Lynch pretty, where I'm like, how are you a real person who's like walking around? They're both like classic film beautiful. Like they have jaws that are structured and cut in a way that feels like it is not contemporary to our time. They're both like very classically beautiful. And like Becky's never going to be on Total Divas, so I can see why they're like, yo, here's this drop dead gorgeous fucking woman who's a lesbian. Yeah, bitch, put her on TV.
Yeah, I'm really excited about all that. Also, I'm excited that the Bells aren't on anymore. They should just be on their own show. Like, it was totally weird that they were on the last season and yeah, we had to hear Nikki's poem.
Yeah, they didn't fit at all. Like, okay, you're friends with these people. They should be ancillary to Total Divas. Like, they could be around, but they shouldn't be regular cast members on that show anymore.
I mean, it did make sense for last season because they did have Evolution and they were wrestling. But now that they're not, right. Okay, let's talk about Elimination Chamber.
Okay.
I know you're not watching, but we're just going to call the men too, because whatever, who cares?
That's fine. Okay.
Buddy Murphy versus Akira Tozawa.
Ooh, what a fun matchup.
Yeah, it's going to be really good. And then Buddy Murphy's going to win.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, no shade to Akira. He was 205 Live champion at one point and is a very fucking good wrestler. But also, Buddy Murphy weighs 350 pounds. So there's no question about who is going to win this match.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to watching that, though. I think it will be really fun. They're both just, that's the thing, like 205, I don't watch it weekly anymore just because, like, you know, we've talked about it. They don't make it necessary for you to watch it weekly anymore. Mm-hmm. But I am always excited when I watch Buddy Murphy wrestle because he's so good.
He is so good.
Braun Strowman versus Baron Corbin.
What?
Yeah.
This is why we should go through the whole card, because it's just going to be me slowly learning what men are facing each other and going, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Why are they fighting?
You know, I don't actually even really know. Like, Kurt Angle, like, kind of was seeming like he was going to retire, but then Baron Corbin and
we all watched
Drew.
Kurt Angle scoot out at the Rumble. He should retire.
Yeah. Baron Corbin and Drew and other people came out and were like, yeah, old man, fuck you. And then Braun Strowman came out to save him. And then this week they had like an hour-long 3-on-3 match that was just like terrible and awful and just a waste of everybody's time. And then they were like, you know, I think that's why. I don't know. I zone out so hard when Braun Strowman is on my TV now, to be honest.
Which is so unfortunate.
And like, I watch it every week, and it is also my job.
It's so weird that Braun was, like, so popular for a minute, and then just, like, I don't give a shit about him anymore. I feel like they totally wasted it. You know what it is? Actually, as I was saying this out loud, I realized it. It was Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens made him look fucking great, and made him fun, and made him relevant, and now I'm just like, I don't give a shit about this.
I know you didn't watch it live, but did you see the Kevin Owens clip at all from this week?
No.
It was incredible. So they are like, Kevin Owens did one of those like videos where he's offsite, like on his camera, and he's at a bowling alley, and he was like, you guys, I'm coming back soon. Don't know when it will be, but it will be soon. And when I come back, I'm going to, you know, I've been watching it and the product is not good without me, but he's also being like nice. He's not being really heely. And he's like, look, I've been spending time with my family and that's great, but like, I'm ready to come back and like kill you guys. Let me show you how, like how it's done. And then he gets up to bowl and he hits a gutter ball. And it was so cute and delightful. And everyone was like, okay, so he's coming back a face.
Good. I'm so happy. Good. Man, it is. When was the last time Kevin Owens was a face? It's been
NXT
years. Was he a face in NXT?
Yeah, for like 30 seconds when he like came out and hugged Sami Zayn. I think he's only ever been a bad guy.
I think you're right. I don't think he's ever, like, he and Jericho were lovable, and so were faces in that sense, and so that's why he had to like return heel. But they were never good guys. I wonder if that's what, if he'll be like that, if he's going to like ride, he's good at that, at like riding that line in a way. And also, when he kicks us in the heart, we're going to love it. It's going to be great.
Yeah, he's just the fucking best. I'm so excited to see him back.
Oh, that's so exciting. Yay!
So yeah, I don't know. Braun Strowman, probably.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's Baron Corbin's job is to lose now. He dresses as a very fancy waiter and then he gets body slammed. And that's like, I'm cool with that. I like that role for him. I don't have to see his weird belly button and he shaved his head. I'm like, all of this is good. You're in the right direction.
Oh, my cat. If you guys hear a lot of weird noise, my cat is like rubbing her face all over everything, but I'm trying to get her off. Mimi, stop. Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush, but like not really. He's just there with Bobby Lashley. Oh, no, it's both of them. Never mind. It's Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush versus Finn Balor.
Oh, I know they're having a campaign. Is this an undercard? Is this like a low card match? Because I feel like both of them are treated like we're supposed to believe that they're like main event guys.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not for the title. Like Bobby has that title.
Oh, okay.
It's for a title. So
definition mid card then. Okay, that's good. I feel like that's a good way to use both of them. I haven't been watching this, and so I have no idea how garbage these exchanges have been, but I feel like that's an interesting matchup. I like Leo Rush. He's a really good wrestler. He and Finn are closer in size, so I feel like he's there to make Finn look very powerful and then like get his ass kicked and somehow come out on top of Bobby. I don't know. Who did Bobby win the IC title from? When the fuck did that happen?
He won it from Dean. Seth.
I was going to say, Dean definitely didn't have it.
Seth. He won it from Seth because of Dean.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Again, I watch this every week. It literally like goes in. If I'm not invested in a story, like truly, it goes in one ear and out the other. I'm like watching it. I make a tweet about it. And then I forget about it because I don't care. I'm not invested at all. And I like Leo Rush. And I like Bobby Lashley, and I don't hate Finn. I know I always like joke about how much I hate Finn, but like I don't actually. But the thing is like Finn is not going to win, I feel like, because it's a 2-on-1. And then he's going to be like, oh, this is shenanigans. But like Finn should win because Finn should win something. Like technically he won like 2 weeks ago and everyone was like shocked or whatever. But like he doesn't win big matches. He wins like every once in a while on Raw. Like he is, frankly, to me, he is like a joke, which is why it's easy to rag on him. Like he needs to win the IC title. He needs to do literally anything.
Okay, I have a question. How many pay-per-views are left between now and Mania? There's Elimination Chamber and then Fastlane, right?
And then Mania, yeah.
Okay, so was that Nick?
That was Nick across the apartment sneezing.
Oh my god, that was so loud. Let's think long term about this. I think you're right. I think a 2-on-1 match, it feels like Finn's going to pin Leo Rush, and so he would have won, and somehow it will not get counted as a win. And so Bobby will retain. There's one more pay-per-view before Mania. I think Bobby and Finn have a 1-on-1 match for the IC title at whatever that is, Fastlane probably. And then that's how we wind up with the IC title match at Mania. It'll probably still be the two of them, but it'll be Finn as the demon because they only bring the demon out now for big stuff. And it makes sense to have the demon be undefeated still and have him win in like a big stage like that. Because you're right, Finn needs something really big. And I don't even think that winning normally would do it for him because I think you're right. I think he's too much of a joke at this point. But to like, I as the man am winning and am not getting my fucking title. We're going to do this at Mania and I'm going to come out as the demon and I'm going to fucking whip your ass. Like that actually is interesting storytelling. And if that's the direction they're heading in, I hope that's the direction they're heading in. But if that is like, then I can see how Bobby winning at this could still work out being very cool long-term and especially good for Finn.
I guess.
I mean, again, zero hope that WWE will do anything that makes a goddamn bit of sense, but because it's the IC title and because it's the demon and Mania, it does kind of seem like a perfect storm to set up for something like that.
I guess I've just given up on caring about Finn and WWE, and so like that's my own baggage, but like I just can't get excited for it. I just truly can't.
I feel like the only time Finn is interesting is at Mania because that's when they let him have fun entrances. Even last year when he had that very stupid ribbon dance, it was so much fun because it was because
was it fun? It wasn't ribbon dance. I didn't have fun.
It was delightful in a way where it's like, man, this dude gets fucking shit on all. You know, I feel about Finn Balor now the way that I felt about Becky Lynch for a long time, where it's like, why are they wasting this person? They're so good. They're charismatic. They're really good on the mic. They're a great wrestler. Like, what's the deal here? Is it just because Vince McMahon doesn't want to jerk off to them? Like, that's really all it feels like. Finn's small. Becky's not a blonde. Like, if they let there's so much support behind Finn organically most of the time. Like, it's so weird to me that they just constantly snuff it out. And so I totally understand the baggage. I get it. Like, they've given you absolutely no reason to continue to like him. It's really sad. And I'm worried that they won't do this and it'll just be, they'll just write him off and he'll lose fucking again, whatever. And it'll turn into a Dean situation where it's like, man, this dude is so good and they just don't do dick with him and they're going to ruin it. They're going to ruin his love for this thing, which, like, that makes me sad. Like, don't strip these people of this thing that they love just because you personally don't get a boner when you look at them.
I just don't have anything else to say because I don't care about this anymore.
Sad. All right, what's the next match?
Shane McMahon and The Miz versus The Usos.
Well, Shane McMahon and The Miz are going to win.
It's such bullshit, too, because The Usos came out and they cut an amazing promo, and it was like a really great segment, and Miz did great work in it, and then Shane was like there or whatever. But like, it was like a really good segment. Did you hear about what happened to The Uso that is married to Naomi?
Jimmy, yes. Do you want to talk about that? I feel like we probably should.
I mean, not really, because WWE, there's going to be no consequences for it, because like when Jay got a DUI, there was no consequences for it. They're not pulling him from the match or anything. Like, it's really a non-starter of a story. Like, Jimmy and Naomi sounds like they were driving drunk and neither of them got a DUI, and Jimmy took off his shirt and tried to fight a cop, and then they put him in jail, and then he got out, and now everything is fine. Like, it sucks that that happened, because like, you shouldn't drive drunk and you shouldn't try and fight cops. Like, well, especially
that's the, like, weird thing though, is that it doesn't sound like she was drunk. There's no mention of her being drunk. And if
she was driving the wrong way down the street, which is why initially they got pulled over, and the cop said that the car reeked of booze. Like,
yeah, that's what I heard, that he was the one that was drunk and that's why the car reeked. And also, like,
why was she driving the wrong way down a one way?
Because it's a super easy mistake to make in a place that you're unfamiliar with. Like, I've done that. I've been in cars with people who have done that in the middle of the day sober. Like, it's a really easy mistake to make. Like, especially if you like are dealing with a drunk husband in the front seat. Like, I can totally see how that can happen, and she would be absolutely sober.
I guess that's fair.
So like, that's what, like, the way that I've heard about this is that she was driving the wrong way, and that it was a cop who aggressively approached a woman of color who was driving, and Jimmy got out of the car because he freaked out. And like, I get it. I understand why that can happen. And like, they're really lucky that it didn't go really badly.
Yeah, but I thought that too.
Yeah. And so I can see why Jimmy was like, I'm going to get out of the car and he's going to deal with me and my wife will be okay. Like, that seems very likely that that is what happened, and that that is part of why WWE is like, he's doing his own shit. Like, their statement was a sentence long, and it feels weird. Like, it's, you're right, there aren't going to be like consequences to it, but also now with these rumors that Jimmy and Naomi want to be fired, like, they're,
wait, what is that?
You haven't heard this?
No. Yeah,
allegedly Jimmy and Naomi do not want to work for this company anymore, and the Usos contracts are up in April, and so Naomi wants to be fired so that they can go to AEW. Allegedly. This is all allegedly, of course, but this is stuff that's coming out in wake of this incident, and so that's why I think it's interesting that, like, it's interesting WWE doesn't want to talk about it, and that they're very willing to let it go. And perhaps that's because they're like, we're not taking this bait and we're not going to fire you because you want to be fired and you want to go to AEW. So like, it's, I think there's a lot more layers to this than just, it was a drug driving incident. Like, I'm curious to see what else comes from this or what doesn't, as you said, but why, like, why doesn't anything come from this?
But I still think that Shane and Miz are going to win, even though I think that the Usos are better. But also, like, it's frustrating to even care about this match because Shane McMahon has a belt and Sanity hasn't been on TV in months, and it's bullshit. And it just makes me – I feel like it's just, like, a spotlight on, like, how ridiculous their tag division is all around.
Yeah, it truly feels like They're telling us we shouldn't care about the tag division at all. Like, straight up telling us the boss's son has a tag belt in a my dad doesn't love me tag team. Like, it is really dumb. And why? I don't blame the Usos for not wanting to re-sign. They're going to fucking pull a Dean Ambrose and just not re-sign their contracts in April. And I don't blame them. Like, this company doesn't care about tag team wrestling. They think it's a joke. And, like, it's, you know, it's really shitty that they think that tag team wrestling is a joke. They think the women's division is a joke. They think that 205 Live is a joke. It's like, who matters here? Like, why is it only these fucking dudes? Like, they're your flagship. They're what's doing all this shit for you, supposedly. And yet again, as we said earlier, here are your ratings just fucking tanking. Like, invest in things that people give a shit. Oh, there's no GMs anymore. The audience is the people in charge. Like, really? Where is sanity? Why is Shane McMahon wearing a belt? Like, it, how is this bringing in new audiences? I just don't get it at all.
Ronda Rousey versus Ruby Riott.
Well, good for Ruby.
Did you see the thing that Charlotte said? Charlotte, who is a heel, but had a nice moment on Twitter. Like, somebody was like shit talking Ruby Riott, saying that she's just as bad or worse than Eva Marie. And Charlotte was like, you know what? Fuck you. Eva Marie worked really hard and she tried to be like better. And that deserves respect. And also, Ruby Riott is fucking amazing. So fuck you. And I was like, you know what, Charlotte? Correct.
Yeah, I did see that. I really enjoyed it. And I like too how she was like, you know what? I was just going to block you, but this is a teachable moment for everybody else. Like, don't do this shit. And I thought that was a really good like, for the most part, I hate the way that wrestlers use Twitter. I think that it purposefully is awful. And I don't really like that, especially because Twitter is just like an outrage machine already. But like, that is a really smart and effective way to use social media. And I think that that demonstrates how good Charlotte is at her job, and that she can ride that line of I'm a shit heel right now, and yet also I can still respect the women that I work with. Like, I like that. That's a really good example to be setting. That's like locker room leader shit.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And also, you know what? I think this match will be interesting. Like, Sasha and Ronda had a really good match.
Yeah.
And Ruby is an excellent fucking wrestler, and I feel like this could be another good match.
Yeah, I feel like we said, Sasha can kind of elevate any match that she's in when she's trying and giving a shit, like when she's given the time to give a shit, really, I think is a better way to put that. And like, I think Ruby could wrestle a fucking broom. Like, she is excellent. She's very, very good at her job. And I want her to get as much of a spotlight as humanly possible. And like, giving her a match at a pay-per-view again is great. And like, she's had a chance to demonstrate that she's very good and that she's being given this spotlight, even though we know she won't win, is great. And like, I want the fucking world for her. I want her to continue to be on every goddamn pay-per-view. Like, I'm excited to see how, if this is the focus that they're giving her now, is this going to extend through the next pay-per-view and into Mania? Like, I'm really excited for her, and I think she's going to pull a good match out of Ronda. Is it a stipulation? Is it just a regular straight-up wrestling match?
I think it's just a regular straight-up wrestling match, and the other two are going to be in the chamber, so.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting. I hope that it's good. I feel like it really is dependent on how much time they give them. If they give them time like they gave Sasha and Ronda, I think that they can have a really, really good, really great match. And, like, credit where credit is due, Ronda has expanded her like wrestling moveset from like 2 to 6, and like, that is a difference. That makes a huge difference in a match, just being able to do a couple of more things. So like, I'm excited to see what else she's learned since the last pay-per-view. She's obviously working, and like, that's better than being a complacent piece of shit, so at least there's that.
The women's tag team titles elimination chamber.
Woo-woo!
I want it to be Sasha and Bayley so much that I can't even think about anything else, to be honest.
Yeah, I honestly don't even want, like, it's going to be a fucking banger barn burner match. It's going to be awesome. This is such a smart way to do this, like, for having not given a shit about this division for, like, 45 years. Like, this is that's an exaggeration, but, like, this is a really cool way to introduce it and to be like, yeah, tag team wrestling matters, and this women's division is going to matter. And, like, we kind of know from the men's division that they don't actually feel that way and probably won't actually do that. But like, this is at least a good start. This is hopefully this doesn't turn out like the first women's Money in the Bank match where like some crazy ass shenanigans happens and they just like set the whole goddamn thing on fire. But it seems kind of like poised to be a really, really cool match. And I'm really excited about it. I want to see these women like beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, honestly, the only person that I'm like slightly concerned about, well, I'm concerned about Tamina and Nia being in the match because Nia has been a botch fest and Tamina has been fucking terrible lately. Like when she came back, I was originally really excited to see her because I thought like maybe they'll like give her a chance. Maybe she can be this other person that or be the bruiser that they've always booked her as. Like I want to like Tamina, but then like I get why they haven't given her opportunities.
Yeah.
It's like not good. And like honestly, she should be fired. And it feels this is shitty, but it feels like I am still in this company because I have a lot of dirt on this company because my dad murdered somebody and I know all these secrets. Like that's how it feels. Because she is fucking bad. And I'm worried about her in this match because she's had just like train wrecks of matches lately. But everybody else in that match has delivered before, even Nia. And a lot of them have been in the chamber before because a lot of them were in the chamber last year. And I'm really excited. And Naomi has been looking really good in her matches lately. So I'm excited for that. But like, basically, like we've said it before, like I want Sasha and Bayley to win because I want them to have first. And also like it plays into their long-term Four Horsewomen stories. Like, you know, Rhonda and the gang can be like, we are the first Four Horsewomen and we're super badass and whatever. And the other four can be like, we're literally like record breaking title holders. So fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. And like Sasha already has that because they let her go back and forth with Charlotte so much. And they had all of those really great first time.
Yeah, but she doesn't have a belt first.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say though, is like, she has this like pedigree, but not in the same way that a first belt would give her. And then in addition to that, Bayley has been treated like fucking worse than dirt and has none of that. Like has been given, she's a one time women's champion, right?
Yeah, for like a hot fucking second.
And yeah. She
had the worst segment in all of Raw, and then they had a terrible match, and then she lost.
Yep. Uh-huh. So, like...
So stupid.
So, they... I feel like... Why not? Why not just give it to them, and then if you're like, they're not really who we want, just literally take it off of them the next night, and everyone will understand. And in a way that if anyone else wins first and then they immediately gave it to Boston Hug, people would be pissed. But there's just something about all four of these four horsewomen got to be a first-time title holder that I think people would forgive if they immediately took it off of them. Like, it just seems like such a wasted opportunity not to do this.
Agreed. I just personally want it so much for Bayley. Like I just
feel deep in my bones. Yes, I agree.
So the final match is the men's elimination chamber match for the WWE Championship. I think Daniel Bryan's gonna win it or whatever, but holy shit, I want Kofi Kingston to win it after that match. You didn't even watch that match, Aaron. It was fucking great. Kofi was so good. He wrestled for over an hour. It just proved like, I mean, I'm 99% sure, like, the rumors are that, like, that was going to be the, like, push for Mustafa anyways, like, having the other underdog do the whole thing, get a really good push, and then, like, LOL RKO from Randy. Or no, oh, well, actually got pinned by AJ, and then AJ got the RKO from Randy, which is, like, good. I didn't want to watch Kofi eat an RKO. But
yeah,
he looked so amazing, and the rumors are that people backstage are, like, really happy because not only did he deliver a really good match, but the crowd was, like, fucking hype for it. And, like, I just love Kofi Kingston so much. And like Daniel is going to probably retain or whatever. But like, can you imagine like give it to Kofi Kingston and then have Kofi and Daniel at Mania for this weird wooden eco belt? I want it so much.
They're both vegans. It makes so much sense. Like, I love it so much. We didn't do our normal segment of what wrestling merch are you wearing. I am wearing my original New Day shirt because I'm so excited about Kofi Kingston. Like, I love him. And everyone always gives shit about everyone. The generalization, everyone gives shit about like, oh, what, you deserve it. Does it matter? What does that really even mean? Like, does he really deserve it? Like, yeah, he fucking deserves it, man. Like, he has worked his ass off for this company for a super long time. Wrestles really, really, really great matches with like fucking cardboard. He and Ziggler had a billion matches together that even sometimes we're still interesting because Kofi's really fucking good and gives a lot of shits. And like, he is the center of the New Day. Like, Xavier and Big E both make it very clear that Big E and Xavier make it very clear that Kofi is the glue that holds that group together. And they have said many times, like, if you separate us, it's not gonna go well. Like, Kofi will just retire. And if that's what he wants, and he does want to retire, and they are moving in the direction to break up the New Day, like, what a perfect way to do that! Give him this accolade, let him hold the fucking belt. There hasn't been a black man as WWE champion fucking ever! Like, it is bizarre! Like, there's an argument to be made that because The Rock is half black, that there has been a black champion, but WWE does not book him as black and only books him as Samoan, and so part of it is the image that they put out is that a black man has never been their champion. And what a perfect black man to be their champion but Kofi Kingston! Like, and then does the belt Freebird? Do they all get the belt if he wins? Have they, like, addressed that at all? They've said that in the past.
They haven't addressed it at all. I think it's because, like, the New Day got put in that position really late because they pulled Mustafa, like, late in the game. And then they were like, it's going to be somebody from New Day. We don't even know who it was. And then, like, as all three of them were walking to the ring, you know, they picked Kofi. But, like, nobody's really talked about, like, what happens. But I don't feel like it would be Freebird. I feel like it would just be, like, a singles push with a stable. And I think that's, with the title, the correct way to do it.
I agree. I think that that is the right way to do it. It's just that in the past, when they have talked about title opportunities, they've, like, made a point to be like, it'll be a Freebird and we'll do all of this, which I like the idea of at the time that they were talking about it, but in this specific instance, I do agree with you. I think it is better to just put it on Kofi and then have the New Day go after the tag belts and hopefully beat the shit out of Shane McMahon. That would be very satisfying. Just shove a pancake straight up his nose. That's, like, really what I need.
Yeah, so I logically want to say Daniel Bryan, but with my heart, I'm saying Kofi Kingston.
I agree. I agree with you. I hope that they do it. Or that it leads to a singles push between Daniel and Kofi where Kofi gets it later.
Okay, so is there anything else you want to talk about, or can we move on to our two listener questions?
Let's move on to our two listener questions.
Okay, also sidebar, I'm wearing my Sasha Banks sweatpants, but it counts because historical match this weekend or whatever.
Yeah, sure. I'll accept that.
This is from Henry T. Casey. This is from a couple weeks ago, but as previously stated, our email was not working. As a British wrestler babbler, I feel compelled to write in. Sorry this isn't short. NXT UK haven't really been giving enough yet of Walter or Ringkampf to get what all the fuss is for. I'd recommend you a ton of his matches, but it's not my place to give anyone homework, and you're busy as fuck. Hopefully Walter versus Dunn at the next takeover, wherever they go, should show why people love the massive Austrian, who's much better than working with Tim Thatcher, or who's much better when working with Tim Thatcher or Marcel Bartel. Up until recently, NXT US hasn't given us that for War Raiders, and I think Walter will get his shot in due time, and I'd wager that they're banking on his hype to sell folks. And the chops, well, from what I heard from an ex-wrestler who only worked for a small time in a small market, those marks on people's chests, they just heal, provided that you clean them properly. Aside from really hurting, I say if they can create a hideous image that doesn't do long-term damage, this feels like a much better version of blading or getting colored. Agreed 1,000% that it should be a finisher. And yes, the theme is bonkers. And yes, Marcel Bartel is amazing. And yes, they should be saying Walter. This is WWE not being smart. Other places do. And as for British wrestling, NXT UK hasn't been it as a weekly show. It doesn't feel authentic or as other Brit Rest promotions because it's possibly too WWE sanitized. It's weird because the guys who run Progress run NXT UK. I have faith that you'll enjoy Brit Rest sooner or later via my watch list or somewhere else. All the best, Henry.
Thank you, Henry. That does help. Like, I that actually makes me understand this a little bit better. And I think that he's right. I feel like we're just getting, like, this sanitized version of it, which is making it really hard to connect to it. And, like, we kind of talked about that a little, where it's like, I think we're just not getting the organic feeling out of it. And I think he's right. If we get the right presentation of Walter, I want to start calling him Walter. I feel like it's the only way that I'm not going to be like, nerd. Like,
I'm going to only call him Walter.
I hate it. It's like, does he make meth in the desert? Like, I hate it. It's so stupid. But I am trying. I'm trying to give him a chance. And I want somebody Austrian. I want somebody to speak German so I can be like, what? What's that? And then I can start listening to the German commentary. Everything will be great.
I will get sold on NXT UK maybe someday. And we will, I know we said this before, but we are going to do your watch list. We just, you know, my wedding is 70 days away. Just give us a break. We'll do it this year. I promise. I promise. Okay. Everybody get off my fucking back. This question is from Joe. Getting women's tag titles again is obviously great, and winning them in the Elimination Chamber is pretty cool too. But does the fact that the titles are being won in a match that requires no actual tag team wrestling bring any worries about the future of the division? I literally hadn't even thought about that.
I hadn't thought about that either. What a great observation. That is a little concerning. Well, I feel like it's going to be... Honestly, I have a feeling it's going to be sort of like what happened with the men's tag team, where tag team wrestling division fucking 30 years ago with Shawn Michaels, that it will start off with two people who are put together who have individual movesets that they like kind of learn to interact with each other. And then there will be a team, hopefully like Boss and Hug Connection or the Iconics. I think that they both have the foundations for this kind of stuff already to really start working on innovative tag team wrestling and like learning to do double movesets. And like, I think that like training with the Revival, that kind of stuff is going to help these women like get better at how do we do these things together.
But I love all the pictures of the Revival and Boss and Hug Connection together. Oh, also the Revival are the tag team champs now. That happened this week.
What?
Yeah, the Revival won on Raw this week.
I don't think I've ever been more shocked by something you've like suddenly told me on this podcast. What?
Yeah, they won on Monday.
From who? Who had them before?
Exactly. Gable and Rude.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, that makes sense. Man, wow. I just hard white guy blinked. Like my brain sort of shorted out for a second. That's great. I guess demanding to be fired got what they wanted. That's great. Is it good? Do they care about this?
I mean, they don't have a match, so no.
Fair. That's fair. Huh. Well, I'm glad that happened. I'm so shocked by that. Good for them. I'm glad. But okay. Sorry.
You like short circuited your brain. That's
I really did. I was like, oh my God. I think training with guys like the Revival and like working on those sets of dedicated moves, and even like I was going to say the Bar, because they do that too, honestly, but the Club does this really well too, where they have like a lot of things that they do together. And I feel like it will only be with time and matches that women are going to be better at that kind of wrestling. And perhaps that's why they're like, let's just not. We know that you guys can do this, so we'll do this. And then we'll figure it out. And like, I guess that's good. It doesn't show a lot of faith in the division. That's a good observation. But like, we've also said this a lot. There is no reason to have any faith, because until very recently, women didn't train as tag team wrestlers because there was no fucking reason to, other than to do it at like house shows. But to like seriously train as a team, as a tag team, like that's even on the indies wasn't something that companies focused on until like really recently.
Yes, but also I think you do. I agree with all of that, but I also think that you do have to take into consideration, like, this is the pay-per-view that was next. Like, they needed to have one Elimination Chamber for women, because they've set that standard for themselves, and they weren't going to put the Raw women's tag or the Raw title in an Elimination Chamber, because they didn't want to do that with Ronda, and because they have the Becky story going on. Who the fuck knows where the fuck Asuka is? And they want to introduce the tag titles before Mania. They kind of had to put it in this match, I feel like.
Yeah, because they could have done it at Fastlane, but like...
LOL, who cares about Fastlane?
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is definitely a much higher regarded pay-per-view than Fastlane is, and this is a way to make sure if more people have their eyes on it and will maybe bring people into Fastlane because they want to see how the next women's match goes or whatever. Does Asuka really not have any match on this card?
No, she doesn't. She hasn't been on TV since she won the title.
Is she injured? Is that what happened?
No, I don't think she's injured. I think they literally don't know what to do with her, and they don't know who to face her with, and they just don't know what to do, so they've just kept her off TV. I haven't heard any injury rumors.
I was just going to ask who else would even be, like, all of the women on SmackDown are all in the tag match, basically. But, like,
the only people that could probably do it are, like, Lacey Evans or Nikki Cross.
I was just going to say, why wouldn't you have her face fucking Nikki Cross?
Because they're dumb and they don't know to push the people that they pull up. They pull them up for no reason.
Is there a pre-show? Do you know if there's any matches on there?
We talked about a 205 live match. It is clearly the pre-show. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but I'm just assuming.
Okay, fair. That's fair. You're right. I should have assumed.
I mean, who knows? They might, you know, throw us for a curveball and it might be on the main show, but, like, let's be real.
I mean, my other suggestion was going to be that maybe they would very stupidly throw Asuka on a match on, like, the pre-show. I could absolutely see them doing some stupid shit like that.
Yeah, I think they fucked themselves and they didn't plan ahead with the SmackDown. But look, now it's equity, right? Because there's a men's title that doesn't mean anything and a women's title that doesn't mean anything.
Too bad I give a shit about one of them.
All right, any other thoughts before we bounce?
No, I think that's it. I think we covered everything.
All right. Well, you can find us on the internet. I'm at Stella_Cheeks.
I'm at Ern Jen C.
You can use the hashtag NowYourDemoPod to interact with us on Twitter.
You can email us, because you can do that again, at NowYourDemo@gmail.com.
You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/NowYourDemoPod. We are doing an Every Mania Ever, but it will just probably be, you know, February is a shorter month and, like, things happen. So it'll probably be like the first week of March that goes out, but we already have it planned. So don't freak out. Don't freak out. I promise it's coming.
Yes, definitely. And also we're going to be redetermining how we rank those. So that will also be a bonus episode that I will plan.
Obviously.
But yeah, you should check out our Patreon. There's a bunch of good stuff on there at all different kinds of levels. And other things, you should rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Truthfully, I don't really know what that does, but I've been told it's good, so do it, I guess.
Yeah. All right, that's it. I'm going to go wash my face because I'm in my pajamas.
I'm going to fold every piece of clothing that I own.
Anne Marie!
All right, we still don't have a new ending. This is terrible.
Here can be our catchphrase for this week, because Henry T. Casey tweeted this, and I still think it's the best thing. Put the wood on Kofi.
Yeah, put the wood on Kofi.
All right, bye. Brain mode.